Good morning, and a warm welcome to everyone to our church this morning. It's great to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day, and it's especially good to be here when it is our Thanksgiving Sunday. So happy Thanksgiving, everyone. We will all be blessed by being here. And look at our church. Isn't this beautiful? Whoever did this must have done this as well. Put all these lights out. So if Dan and I are stumbling around up here, it's because we're in the dark, much like normal.
That's one excuse.
But anyway, it's great to be here. It's great to see everyone. A warm welcome, special welcome to anyone visiting our church. Each and every one of us will be richly blessed by being here. Thank you, Dan.
Morning and happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Just refer you to the announcements on the back of the bulletin. Living Beyond Yourself, Exploring the Fruit of the Spirit, Bible Study, and that resumes, it was past Thursday, October 6th, okay, so hope you had a good time. Bridal shower for Janice and Carl is Wednesday the 12th, so this Wednesday coming up. If you need any more information, contact Marge or Laurie. Fall cleanup, October 22nd, and that starts at 9 a.m., Dying to Know, Wednesday the 19th at 7, and it's here at the church. This is, for those of you who don't know, the funeral cremation information evening, and it's presented by Alternatives Funeral and Cremation Services. Bill Nixon from the Mustard Seed is going to be here on the 30th, October 30th, and present the message that day. And there's a hope that the community members who have had any involvement with the Mustard Seed, and I know this church has had a big involvement as well, a lot of people in the community, and we're hoping that they'll join us that day. In October the 29th, we need to join in and wish Alice Francis a happy 100th birthday. She's looking real good back there, you guys. 100th. I told her she was looking well this morning. She said, I needed new glasses. I said, I've got them. I'm wearing them. Just a couple of other things. We need to remember in our prayers the Kinch family. Most of us know Jim and Sandy lost their oldest son, Wade, last week in a helicopter accident near Drayton Valley. So please remember them in your prayers. And Kathy has a message for Women's Christian Fellowships. It's for the women, so all guys, we can go grab a coffee if you want to.
Thanks, Dan. You might have to get your own lunch that day, so maybe you better listen. On Thursday the 13th, coming up this week, we're having a ladies' meeting in the afternoon. It's complicated, so everybody listen. Bible study is at 10 in the morning, and we... whoever wants to, ladies, are meeting here at noon to clean the kitchen. So if you're Bible study and you want to stay, that's fine. We are not, Ladies Christian Fellowship is not bringing our lunch to eat here unless we feel like it, but we'll start at noon and clean the kitchen, and then at 2 p.m. we're having a regular meeting. So if you're not in Bible study, you don't want to clean the kitchen, please come at 2 for the meeting. That's what I wanted to say.
Got it. Are there any other announcements? Back to you.
Thank you, Don. It's just great to be here. It's great to look around our church, to see the work that's been put into the decoration, you know, the preparation of the sanctuary. And I want to say a big thank you to everyone who's been involved in doing that. And a big thank you to each and every one of you, because you decorate the house of the Lord by your presence, and it's great to be here. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. Our call to worship this morning is Psalm 100, and I have quite deliberately put it in from the New King James Bible. I think A lot of the scripture readings that we get familiar with are often in the old style of the old King James. The New King James is not a lot different, and I think it's the way that we are often familiar with hearing them. And so that's what we're having this morning. Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. And now to get us singing with thankful and joyful hearts, we'll have Elma to come up here and Marion accompanying on the piano, and she's going to get us all in the right thanksgiving spirit. Thank you, Elma.
Well, what better day to sing count your blessings than Thanksgiving? Anyway, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Count your blessings in the tempest song. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings in the people come, and we're singing verses 1 and 2.
Lord, have mercy. to prepare our minds for the service, we'll sing Open Our Eyes, Lord.
Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus.
Nice to hear that harmony over there somewhere.
Thank you, Elmer. What a beautiful way to start our service of thanksgiving. Our thanks to Elmer, to Marian, and for providing those approach hymns for us. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father, as each and every one of us came to this place, this holy place, this holy sanctuary this morning, we looked around us at the fields and we are reminded once again that this is our Father's world, that you, Lord, control this world, that this is your world. And as we see the beauty of the changing season once again, we are reminded of your grace and your presence all around us. And as we came through the doors of this sanctuary, Lord, this holy place, we see your presence in the faces and in the hearts and in the love of our Christian brothers and sisters as we gather here in this holy place. Holy Father, we pray that you will hear us as we worship you this day. Open our hearts, open our minds. We want to see Jesus. We want to hear your blessed word, Lord. And so we pray that our hearts and minds may be open to your grace and to your glory. And we pray, Holy Father, that you will accept our worship this day, that you will accept the praise we bring as we seek to lift high the name of Jesus, the name, the blessed name which is above every other name. And we ask you, Father, to bless us as we worship. We worship, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Join me in the responsive reading. God saw all that he had made, and it was good. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the deserts overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of all your creatures.
Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds to men. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things.
But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord.
Now it's a great joy for us to have this morning presenting for us special music our very own Kathy Reid. Kathy, thank you.
It's such a thrill to get to this time of year, and of course the beautiful decorations just lift our hearts up. And we're thankful at this time of year because the harvest is pretty much in, and the busy summer is over. And if we had a lazy summer, we're back to the routine that gives us comfort. The seasons of the year give us purpose and a direction. And this little song is somewhat about seasons of life. It's about God's care over all, care over the seasons, care over the changes of our life, and care over each one of us. It's got three names, actually, that I found. One is called In the Bulb There is a Flower. There's another name, Something God Alone Can See. But my favorite name is The Hymn of Promise. So I hope you'll hear God's voice in your heart as you listen to this little song. Just give me a second here, Pat. I've got to get organized. I've got to get my road map set up here. Okay, we're good. In the bulb there is a flower, in the seed an apple tree, in cocoons a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and snow of winter, there's a spring that waits to be unrevealed until it's season, something God alone can see. Mm-hmm.
There's a song in every silence, seeking word and melody. There's a dawn in every darkness, bringing hope to you and me. From the past will come the future, what it holds, a mystery, unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see.
Beautiful, and thank you, Pat. Beautifully played. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts, They are but humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Father, to accept these gifts and to accept the givers. For we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you. The children would like to come and join me, please.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Well, why don't we do that first? We have a Bible presentation here, which there was one that was missed two or three weeks ago when Susan did them for the promotions for the Sunday school. And this particular one is one that was missed at the time. Thank you, Susan.
Okay, so Mary, you were here when we sent
Now, before I tell you my little story today, yesterday the Flames played their first game of the season. And they got beaten by a team called... No, it wasn't Edmonton. Don't talk like that in here. It was the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I saw somebody in here last week with a Pittsburgh Penguins jacket on. Where is he? There he is. Anyway, today's a special day in our church, isn't it? What do we call today? What Sunday is it?
Thanksgiving Sunday.
Is that what you were going to say? Thanksgiving Sunday. What a lovely day of the year when we give thanks to God for everything that he gives to us. Now then, that's a nice word, isn't it? Thanks. Give thanks. It's a lovely word. Does everybody always say thank you when people's kind to you, when they do something for you? Every single time? No? Did somebody say no? Well, we should really, shouldn't we? Because we are grateful for what people do for us. Okay? Now then, can you imagine what it would be like if we took that word, thank, right out of our language? How would we express our gratitude to people? It would be difficult, wouldn't it? No, we wouldn't, would we? How would we be able to... I can't even say it. I was going to say, how can we say thank you if we can't say thank? We wouldn't be able to, would we? There was a village in India where in their language they didn't have a word for thank. They had no word. But they had another word in their language which they used to use. And this particular village had had a problem because the people nearly all suffered from blindness. They weren't born blind, but as they got gradually older, they started to go blind. Can you imagine what that would be like? They were going blind. Oh, it was terrible. Anyway, there was a Christian doctor who was a missionary. He went to that village and he lived with the people and he worked hard to try and resolve this problem, blindness. And he did. And he was able to perform slight operations on these people and they could see again. What do you think they said to the doctor?
Thanks.
No, they didn't. They couldn't. They didn't have a word for thanks. So I wonder what they said. Well, I'll tell you. They had a word in their language and it meant, I will tell your name. I will tell your name. And that was their way of saying thanks. So what they did was everybody who'd been cured of blindness, everywhere they went, they told people who had done this for them. I will tell your name. And they told them about the Christian doctor missionary who had cured their blindness. Now then, that's what Thanksgiving Sunday is about. Who gives us everything that we have? God does. So in that village, they would say, I will tell your name. And you know what we would do? We would go and we would tell everybody what God has done for us and done for the whole wide world. We will say, I will tell your name. This is God's world. This is God's creation. God created everything, and God is with us. We can see Him all around us in the beauty of the earth. And so that's what we can learn from the people in that village in India from many, many years ago. We will tell your name, and we'll always tell the name of Jesus. Kathy, what you got for us? Thank you. As we're all together, we'll gather around in prayer. Come on. What's that special word again that we do have in our language?
Thanks.
Let's say thanks to God. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you love us so much that you sent Jesus. And you love us so much that you have given us this beautiful, beautiful world to live in. Help us always, Lord, to tell of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Okay.
There you go.
I have a thank you song. You might not know it.
Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free.
Let's try it again.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free.
And because we're so thankful, we just have to bubble. It's bubbling, it's bubbling.
Kathy, having the children singing that little hymn there, Thank You Lord for Saving My Soul, takes me back a few years because many years ago, back in England, Iris and I and a group of young people, because we were young at the time, a group of young people, we used to go to an elderly folks' home and do a little service for them on a Tuesday evening, and we always sang that, Thank You Lord for Saving My Soul. And so that kind of takes me back, and I know it takes Iris back to that beautiful time. So we thank Kathy for giving us that nice little song. Thank you. Okay, where are we? Yes. One of the old traditions of harvest is this next hymn. And when the hymn book that we use today was put together, I'll never know why, but We Plough the Fields of Scatter was not put in there. But it ain't going to beat us because we have it. And so we're going to stand and sing to the glory of God. We plough the fields and scatter.
Thank you.
Thank the Lord, oh thank the Lord for all his love. For me, it wouldn't be Thanksgiving without that hymn. That is the hymn, well, one of the hymns of Thanksgiving. And it's such a wonderful time of the year because families come together. Kids who are away, they come back for Thanksgiving. And, you know, it's just such a beautiful and thankful time. And people come together and they give thanks in their own different ways. And what a blessing it is. And so we come together as a church family to give thanks to the Lord, who is the provider of every good and perfect gift, of all things that we have. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father, we thank you that you have made the world so bright, so full of splendor and of joy, beauty and light. So many glorious things are here, noble and right. We thank you, Lord, for our church, for your church here on earth, throughout the whole world, that your church, Lord, has stood the test of time and will continue to stand strong, and the gates of hell will never prevail against her, because you did so ordain it. And we are thankful, Lord, that through your holy church, we have rich traditions and a royal heritage, and that your name is glorified and proclaimed above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. On this day of Thanksgiving, Father, each and every one of us, with heads bowed before your throne of grace, we give you thanks for the precious gift of life, and that your love for us is not dependent upon any worthiness of our own. We thank you, Father, that we are loved by your grace. We thank you, Father, for the measure of health and strength that we each enjoy, and that we know neither hunger nor want. We are thankful for the warmth of our clothes, for the love and the protection of our families, for our friends and for all around us who love us the best, and for the small deeds and the words of encouragement that have so very often lifted us and chased away the dark clouds of despair. And we thank you, Father, for the zest for living and for the many answered prayers. We thank you, Father, that we live in a land that is bountifully able to provide for our needs, a land that still, by thy providence, knows only peace. We thank you, Father, for this land of peaceful valleys, smiling meadows, mighty mountains, and fields rich with your bounty. We pray that you will help us, Father, to always appreciate everything that we have, and to look to what we have rather than yearning for those things that we do not have. May we be ever mindful, Lord, for those who are less fortunate than we are, those who suffer in body, in mind, or in spirit, and those whom you have placed, Lord, upon our hearts to pray for and to care for. And so as we whisper their names, Father, we pray that you will open to us avenues of service, that we may reach out in your name and positively touch their lives. We pray for them now, Father, in silence. We thank you, Lord God, for our own church, for our own church family, which is for each of us a source of joy, of sustenance and enrichment. And we pray, Lord, for all of those from whom we are separated at this time, from our own home families, from our church family, and we pray for them, Lord, for your protection and for your blessing. And we ask now, Almighty Father, that you will go with us as we go forward in your strength and in your grace into a new week. We ask, Lord, that you will help us to be continually grateful for all things, that we may learn to give thanks in all circumstances, and that our lives, Lord, may be a blessing to all of those whom we encounter upon the way of life. Lord, grant to us your peace and your joy as we worship you again. In the name of Christ our Saviour, in whose blessed name we pray. Amen. And so we listen now to the word of the Lord.
The Gospel is from Matthew chapter 22, starting at verse 1. So Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted calf have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" And the epistle is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you."
Our thanks to Sandy for those readings from the Scriptures. And now we stand again and we sing to the glory of God, the hymn 560, "For the Beauty of the Earth."
Love which from our birth over.
when I said it's nice at this particular time of the year that families all come back, and it is equally applicable to our church family that people return. And I just wanted to mention, it's nice to see Nicole Simpson with us. Nicole is a member of our church, and she works for Youth for Christ in Saskatoon, and she is one of our missions that we support as a church. And it's good to have you with us, Nicole. Welcome. And it's good to see everyone here this morning. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A woman arrived late for a wedding, and as she rushed up to the door, the usher asked her for her invitation. "I have none," she snapped. "Are you a friend of the groom?" he asked. "Certainly not," the woman replied. "I'm the bride's mother." Think about it. Once Sir Winston Churchill received an invitation from the playwright George Bernard Shaw to one of his opening plays back in the early 1900s. And Shaw wrote to Churchill, "Enclosed are two tickets to the performance of a play of mine. Bring a friend, if you have one." Churchill sent back his reply. "Dear GBS, I thank you very much for the invitation and for the tickets. Unfortunately, I am engaged on that night, but could I have tickets for the second night, if there is one?" The story that we read from Jesus in our gospel reading today is about invitations and how people respond to invitations. And what we've got to remember is that when God in Christ Jesus tells us a parable, he tells us a story, he is telling us something. He is speaking directly to you and to me. So what we need to look at is, what is God saying to you and I today about our invitation? Director and actor Woody Allen is known for a lot of quotations. And one of his best known quotes is one where he says, 90% of life is just showing up. 90% of life is just showing up. But Woody Allen is famously wrong, because in reality, 90% of life is what we do after we show up. Many people embrace Woody Allen's quote because it lets us off the hook for all but 10% of our lifetime's screw-ups. And so we like it. It's easy to just show up. It's easy to just be there. But it is much harder to be there and to be involved in whatever is happening. And also in this story, this parable of Jesus, he tells us about a guy that showed up at the banquet along with all of the rest of the crowd in the general invitation, and he got thrown out because he wasn't suitably dressed. What is God saying to you and I about how we are attired for his banquet? First off, when Jesus tells this parable, he starts with these words. Again, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like. If you want to know what heaven is like, this is what heaven is like, Jesus is saying. The king is holding a great banquet for his son. So he first of all sends out the invitations to his closest friends and associates, his acquaintances. And they turn down the invitations. Now you cannot miss the obvious point here that Jesus is initially, he's talking about the Jewish nation, God's chosen people. Israel had a checkered history of rejecting God's invitations to his people, and they frequently stoned and they killed God's prophets, his servants. So the king now opens up the guest list, go out into the highways and the byways and tell everyone to come. Tell everyone to come. The Jewish nation no longer has exclusive rights to the kingdom of God. And of course, they were never ultimately intended to have exclusive rights. But the sign above the door to heaven no longer says members only. So the first message, I guess, of Jesus' story, of Jesus' parable, is that everyone is invited. The whole shebang, the whole lot of us, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We're all invited, every single one of us. So God wants everyone to attend and to be present at his home, at his great party in heaven. But secondly, we need to be aware that not everyone will respond to the king's invitation. We've all made excuses why we cannot attend whatever it may be. And we can see the penetrating insight of the Lord Jesus Christ when we hear the reasons in his story that people gave for not attending. Now, for these reasons, I extend beyond Matthew's version of that parable, and I take in a little bit of what Luke tells us, because Luke gives us a bit more info about the reasons that people gave. But no one is antagonistic to the king. It's nothing to do with the king, they're saying. They're sorry, they'd like to come, they send their best wishes, but they're sorry, they're busy. And one says, well, I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. And another says, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. And the third one says, well, he says, I just got married, so I can't come. Sorry. These people all offer legitimate sounding reasons why they cannot come. Reasons which most people would have readily accepted. Their reasons are to do with business and they are to do with family. Business is highly important. We have to earn a living. Marriage is important. It was ordained by God, and our families are the source of so much joy and so much happiness in our lives. But Jesus is saying that all of their reasonable explanations, although they sound quite solid, Jesus is saying they are still just excuses. They are excuses. And a pastor once compiled a list of some of the reasons that he hears from people why they don't come to church. So see if you've heard of them. See if you've used any of them. Well, I have to work. Sunday is the only day we have together as a family, and apparently we don't want to spend it in worship. Well, we need our Sunday recreation time. Well, Sunday, it's the only day I get to sleep in. And the point I believe that our Lord is making here is that even good things can and often are the enemy of the best things in life. Even things that are right and wholesome and necessary can stand between one's soul and the kingdom of God. One does not have to do wrong things or bad things to miss out on the kingdom of God. We can even miss out by being over preoccupied with such good things and wholesome things like business and family. Again and again, Jesus teaches us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other important things will be ours as well. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let me take you back to Woody Allen and his quote that 90% of life is just showing up. Well, the guy in Jesus' story heard the general invitation to the banquet and he just showed up. And then he just got thrown out because he wasn't correctly dressed. Now then, we might think that this doesn't sound like too great a crime, like too great a sin. But back then, it was considered a disgrace and a profound insult to the host. When a king invited people to attend a reception, a wedding, a banquet, a feast, that king provided a special garment for his guests to wear, normally a long white robe. So when the guest arrived, all he had to do was request the wedding robe, the banquet robe, and it was given to him. To enter the feast without wearing the correct robe was inexcusable. Now then, let's go back a bit. When God in Jesus tells us a parable, he's got something to say to us. He's telling us something. What is Jesus saying to you and to me about how we clothe ourselves for his feast in heavenly glory? What is he saying to us? Well, I think it seems that we cannot expect to simply show up and automatically be part of Christ's eternal feast. And you know, there are many, many people who believe this. They believe they live in a Christian country. They believe they are Christians. And they believe that they're all going to heaven. We're all going to heaven. And then there are other people who do attend church. And we could say that they are in church in body, but not in spirit. They do not spiritually participate in what is going on there. Their minds are continually dwelling upon other things. When Jesus teaches us that we are to seek first the kingdom of God, he adds to that, and his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because to enter his heavenly banquet, we need to be clothed in his righteousness. And if we are not clothed in his righteousness, then we too are wearing the wrong clothes. We must be clothed in his righteousness. Philippians 3, chapter 9 tells us about the kind of righteousness we need to be clothed in. And it says, not having a righteousness of my own, not having a righteousness of my own, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Not having a righteousness of our own, that is, we can't just think that we can just show up and entrance into heaven is ours by right. We cannot earn it. We cannot just claim it because we think we should have it. But we need to be clothed in a humble righteousness that comes by faith in God. Or as St. Paul writes in Romans 13, verse 14, rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single one of us here today has been sought by God. God has come looking for us and he's invited each of us personally to his banquet in honor of his Son, Christ Jesus. We have been invited to richly enjoy life both now and in eternity. Are we prepared to celebrate as God wants us to? Do we have the faith which is the righteousness of Christ? Have we put on the clothing of righteousness that Christ offers to all who come and simply request of it? To get into the banquet, you just got to request the right clothing. Have we asked Christ to clothe us in his righteousness? Have we changed our clothing for the feast? Or have we turned up wearing our old clothes, still living in our old ways? The word of God in Christ Jesus warns us that some who just turn up will be thrown out. A few times recently I've made reference to legends. I'm going to close this morning with another legend, and this one is the legend of Aaron the fisherman. He lived on the banks of the river, and as he walked home one evening after a hard day's work, he was going along the pathway on the side of the river, and you know the way you kick at things, and you kick at this and kick at that, and his foot kicked something, and it was kind of like a pouch, and it seemed to be filled with stones and pebbles. And so he picked up this pouch, and as he was going along, he was taking stones out, and he'd throw one into the river, and he'd think to himself, my, what it would be like if I was rich. Do you ever have that dream? What it would be like if I was rich? Threw another one in. Oh, my wife and I, we could live in a glorious and beautiful mansion, and we could eat the best of foods, and oh, we could have such a wonderful life. And he's throwing the stones into the river. And he threw another and another and another, and finally he was down to the last one. And you know when you've got a stone in your hand and you jiggle it around in your hand, and as he jiggled it around, it seemed to sparkle. It seemed to sparkle. And he realized that these were no ordinary stones that he was throwing away into the river. These were the precious stones. And he had been throwing away the real riches in his hand that he was dreaming about, the unreal riches in his dream that were just a dream. And we have been given everything that we need in this world and in this life to live a wonderful and well provided for life. It has been placed in our hands, and we have been invited to rejoice and to enjoy it. But for some reason, many of us do not look at what we have been given, and we carelessly throw it away. And Christ concluded his story, his parable, with the words, "Many are called, but few are chosen." Thanks be to God. Amen. For our closing hymns, we sing first of all that other old beautiful hymn of thanksgiving, 556. We rise and sing to God's glory. Now thank we all our God.
love to be God's people.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.
Amen.